Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschooled father of five, and we raise our kids in the midst of a gigantic conflict between good and evil, between right and wrong. We are in a battle over the hearts and the minds of the next generation. Indeed, this is the battle. This is the war of the worldviews, and welcome to Omaha Beach on D-Day. In the war of the worldviews, we engage these battles, and they're ferocious battles, of course, because we're engaging over the hearts and minds of the next generation. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers that control the institutions of our day, especially those in which ideas are formulated and propagated. And friends, this is the battle. The battle is the battle of media. The battle is the battle in the area of education. The battle is the battle over the universities. The battle is the battle over the educational means by which our children will be raised in this generation. And so as you consider this battle, you're going to find that there are spiritual forces that will do their utmost to tear you down. If you dare to engage in this spiritual warfare, be sure to do it with prayer and with faith. Bill Jack is in studio with me right now. He's been in the spiritual battle of worldviews for a very long time. And here's a confidential letter that came from a listener in Australia, Bill. So I'm not going to read it in detail, but I do want to give the gist of it. She wanted me to communicate some of these things to our listening audience because this is a cry for help in Australia from a Christian family there who's been homeschooling, considering Christian schooling, but the Australian Christian schools are showing movies depicting full frontal nudity to their high school classes. Full frontal nudity.
And this is
to the high school
classes. Christian school.
This is a Christian school. That's right. It's a well-respected school in Brisbane. A Christian school out there, a mother complained about the full frontal nudity that's being shown to the students at a Christian school in Australia, and she's been ostracized from the community, which happens if you complain. Squeaky wheel gets ostracized.
Whistleblower.
Yeah. Another Christian family was looking at sending their homeschooled 12th grader back into the Christian schools, but she discovered the literature was filled with filthy language and sexually explicit stuff, and the teaching staff says, you know, hey, it's good literature. This is good literature. The Emperor's New Clothesmakers Literature Department has called this good literature. I understand it's filthy, it's full of sexual explicit stuff, but trust me, it's good literature. The Emperor's New Clothes propagandizing machine for the literature department of these Christian schools are calling it good literature. I know it's sexually explicit. It's got the F word, the GD, the GD, the HHH, but it's John Steinbeck.
It's done in good.
It's Hemingway.
It's done in good taste.
It's the best stuff ever written, according to the Emperor's New Clothes makers. Are you with me here, Bill?
Yeah.
Who says it's good? Well, the Emperor's New Clothes makers. They said it's good because they operate all the educational institutions of this country, and they told me it's good.
And the question, that's not, the underlying question is this, Kevin. Who decides what is appropriate for the child to see?
The Emperor's New Clothes makers.
They do it, Bill. Should be the parent.
I know.
And the parent decides what is appropriate at what age. What content, what subject matter is appropriate at what age? And what's happened here is, you're right, there's somebody who's usurped the jurisdiction, the authority of the family.
Let's admit it. What's happened is these people who are qualified to teach in Christian schools in Australia have attended public universities where they have been told by the Emperor's New Clothes Maker Literature Department what is good and what is bad literature. And so they have been told by the Emperor's New Clothes Maker, they have been instructed in the secular universities they have attended where they have their Bachelor's of Art degree in teaching literature. They have learned from the Emperor's New Clothes Maker staff and propagandizing machine that this literature that takes God's name in vain throughout and uses the F word every other sentence is the best literature for the state of Australia. Okay, my friends, but of course that is the indication that somebody in these Christian schools have given way to the wrong worldview. Because ultimately what determines good and right, what determines good literature but a biblical worldview or a certain worldview that is either right or wrong. If a biblical worldview calls it bad, it's bad. If a biblical worldview refers to it as good, it's good. If the Bible, if Philippians 4:8 describes something as good, then it's good. If God's word, if God's law defines something as good, then it's good. If there are secular writers, humanist writers, that are defining good by the standards of man's autonomous mind, then it's not good. It is not good. Don't trust your non-Christian professors in secular universities. That's what we're saying. Do not trust non-Christian professors in secular universities. If you've got a degree, if you've got a liberal arts degree out of a secular university, throw it away. Just throw it away. Unless the preponderance of teachers, instructors, and books come from a distinctively Christian worldview. That's the conclusion to the matter, my friends. Okay, well, apparently in Australia, independent Christian schools are forced to teach the literature required by the Australian government. And the government enforces filth in Australian schools. The government enforces filth in those schools that are funded by the Australian government. All Christian schools, by the way, that receive any government funding must teach filth by government dictate. Now, that's no surprise, because what the government funds, the government controls.
It sounds kind of like U.S. public school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our listener closes her letter to me with these words. Is it possible that you could warn parents in Australia to investigate what media and literature their children are getting in the Christian schools, because there are very disturbing reports of filthy content, full frontal nudity, sexually explicit stuff, coarse language, and the occult being given to children. For some reason, the children aren't reporting this. We need an outcry of prayer. We need a very curious parents to go to the Christian schools and to do their homework and to not assume that the content is clean in the Christian schools. We have a stronghold here that needs to be broken through prayer. Amen and amen. Well, it's not just the Christian schools in Australia. The public school families in America are up in arms over the rape, the bestiality, the human sacrifices, the molestations, the homosexuality, the serial killing going on in American public schools. I'm sorry, going on in literature classes in American public schools. We'll be back with more on that in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, as we discuss literature in the Christian schools. And why in the world are they showing X-rated movies with full frontal nudity in Christian schools in Australia? In Brisbane, Australia. What's going on? What's going on with all of the sexually explicit, blasphemous language that creeps into Christian schools and is promoted by the literature classes? Well, of course, we've been warned about this for a very, very long time. Remember, twice as many literature, liberal arts, religion department professors in American Christian colleges hold the old earth evolution versus the science department heads, according to the survey done by Ken Ham. Twice as many of the liberal arts professors believe in old Earth evolution versus the science department heads. Not because liberal arts professors know more science than the science department heads, but because liberal arts professors are liberal. Hello, they're liberal. They've been attending liberal schools. They've got liberal degrees out of liberal universities, and they are contaminating Christian colleges right and left and have been doing that for roughly 400 years. So, friends, be careful. Be ever so careful. There are a lot of Christian schools out there that are Christian in name only. You pay 12 grand a year to get your kids some pagan, humanist, secular junk they got out of the public schools. They get the same pop culture, the same peer influence, sometimes worse influence. They do not have a Christian discipleship model that the scriptures provide, and you can read about that in my book, Upgrade This 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. But the curriculum is secular to the core in many of these Christian colleges, these Christian schools. It's warmed up humanism, but it's just a little bit more expensive for Christian families who want to send their kids to these Christian schools that are Christian name only so they can get a label and does the same warmed up humanism and junk they get out of the public schools. Now, this isn't every Christian school, but there are a lot of Christian schools this way.
We do camps all across the country, Kevin, with Worldview Academy during the summer. 21 different locations. We're just renting bed space.
Yeah.
But it's at secular schools,
mm-hmm.
Christian schools, and mm-hmm. Christian in name only schools.
Okay. And you know the distinction. You can distinguish them.
It's very obvious. I mean, for example, at Wake Forest University, which once was associated with the Baptist denomination, uh-huh. it has since divorced itself from the Baptist, even though Jesus Christ is still in their bylaws. Our students get kicked off campus for sharing their faith because they ran into a religion prof, and he was not happy mm-hmm. with the gospel.
Yeah.
At TCU one year, TCU, that's Texas
Christian
University.
Christians got the Christian in the name.
Yeah.
It's got to be Christian.
Yeah. We got kicked off campus for
you
having our students. Yeah.
Off of a Christian campus?
Yeah.
What were you? You were acting like Christians.
Yeah.
You were acting like a Christian on a Christian campus.
Now, both of those institutions are private institutions. They have every right to do so. They can set the rules. But people need to know that just because the name Christian is in the university's title doesn't make them Christian. Okay.
All right. So it's not just the Christian colleges, not just the Christian schools in Australia, friends. The public school families are also up in arms over all the rapes, the bestiality, the human sacrifice, the molestations, the homosexuality, the serial killing, all that going on in literature classrooms, in public school cesspools across this country. The news stories are abounding on this. I'm just giving you a couple of examples here. These are local media sources across the country. Constant flow of complaints out of parents who are concerned about the content of the great literature. The great literature. We're not worthy to be in the presence of the John Steinbecks and the Hemingways, who use God's name in vain hundreds of times, not thousands of times in their literature. Okay, my friends, this is the great literature. And the great literature profs are teaching the great literature. And families are up in arms about this kind of stuff. Here's the Linden schools from the Tri-County Times in Linden, Michigan. This is Nowhereville, Michigan. I mean, we're not talking about downtown Chicago here. We're talking about Nowhereville, Michigan. Approximately 6 months after several Linden parents brought the issue of being unaware of their children watching R-rated movies and reading books with graphic material in class, Linden Superintendent Russ Somebody presented a solution, et cetera, et cetera. Numerous parents spoke of the meeting upset because certain books and films contain sex, nudity, rape, and graphic material. During the meeting, Sheila Kern said, "We have numerous materials with themes of rape, molestation, promiscuous sex. It's not isolated. It's again and again. It's not fair for parents to have their kids singled out again and again just because the nature of the material is inconsistent with the values of the home." Another parent, Sarah Tottingham, said, "Parents need to respect the parents' choice to decide what is appropriate, what is not." She said, "It's not appropriate when students are only given the choice of reading books like Clockwork Orange, books that address rape and sex." She says, "It's not the teacher's main job to tell students about the world and what to expect." Now, here's a Las Vegas story from KTNV. Parents are fuming when they found out their children were assigned to read sexually explicit books at school. Somebody named Hampton said her 12-year-old son was reading a book he was assigned at school when he came to his father with a question. The word they didn't understand was masturbate. I was like, what was these kids reading? The book is called The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian by Sherman Alexie. The books have been banned in other schools across the country for explicit language, mature content. Book talks about sexual content, the F word, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's Las Vegas. Then we have VC Star in California, Conejo County, California.
Parents are upset because of, again, sexually explicit stuff, graphic rape, graphic violence, graphic sex, graphic abuse of human rights violations, suicidal tendencies, ideation. The books that would qualify include The Handmaid's Tale, Catcher in the Rye, et cetera, et cetera. Teachers are upset in these schools because the new policy the school is suggesting that teachers should issue content warnings on the syllabi they distribute for their courses is apparently binding the teachers down, and they want complete autonomy. Okay, so that's just what? How many stories? Three stories? Four stories? Okay, I just read it as fast as I could because I don't have time to go over all the parents who are complaining about the content, the graphic sex, the graphic rapes that are detailed for students who are trying to work their way through some kind of literature class.
And the audacity of these educators who say they want more autonomy. Whose child is it anyway?
Well, the children belong to the state.
There should be a parental notification and a parental agreement on the part of the teacher saying, hey, we're going to discuss certain sensitive issues. There's going to be a piece of literature. Please give me your permission to use this piece of literature. And if there is a question about that piece of literature, are there not, of all the pieces of literature out there, are there not other great pieces of literature that would not be offensive to parents that could be used for the same educational purpose?
And we're going to suggest that in a moment. We would suggest whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We're going to suggest a Philippians 4 approach to education for our children. But why all the rape? And I want to answer this worldview question. Why the F word? Why is the F word the thing that makes for great literature? Why is it that Christian apostasy and the hatred for the Word of God and rape and incest and witchcraft and Satanism are the preferred topics for the great literature taught in your junior high and high school classrooms? And here's why. Romans 1:26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, etc., 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 who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them and write long, long, long books and provide for great literature for empires in decline, as they not only practice such things deserving of death, such as homosexuality, but they do the same, and they approve of those who practice them, and so on and so on. So God has given Sodom's schools up to a perverted mind. God has given American literature classes up to a perverted mind. That's what's going on, my friends, as these empires are in decline. Yes, they are. They're coming down. This is the end of these empires. They will embrace the worst possible literature you could ever imagine. Has God given your family up to a perverted mind as well, to send your kids to perverted schools to study perverted literature? Is it all over for your family? Is it that God has given your family up to a perverted mind, to be sure your kids are studying the perverted literature as well? Or are there some exceptions to the rule? See, what kind of literature should you prefer for your children? That literature which is true, which is noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtue, praiseworthy. These are the things that you should meditate upon, and you should encourage your children to meditate upon. Ephesians 5 and verse 12 says it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. They don't just speak of them. They describe them. You climb into the mind of the rapist. I'm telling you, this is great literature today. This has been great literature since the humanist apostates, the transcendentalists, the Emersons, the Thoreaus, the Hawthornes, and the Mark Twains of the previous century. You climb into the mind of the unbeliever. You climb into the mind of the murderer. You climb into the mind of the rapist. And you have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, big time. You're invited into the kitchen of Hannibal the Cannibal, and you watch their movies, and you read their books, and they are called classic movies, and they are called classic books, in which you are invited into the living room of the rapist, and you have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But the Bible says in Ephesians 5, it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret.
But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. St. Augustine, in his Confessions, he called the Greek poet Homer a torrent from hell. The man who writes on incest, the man who writes on the fates, he says, I can't believe parents pay money to have their children taught this junk about incest and the fates and all this garbage from Homer. Huh. That's what Augustine said. You want to bring back the apostate pagan material again and again and again and warm up the humanism, put it in the microwave, and bring it back out for your 14-year-olds and your 16-year-olds and your 18-year-olds. Augustine would turn to you, look you in the eye, parents, and he'd say, you're giving your kids a torrent from hell. All right, we are in the battle. We are in the thick of the battle right now in the war of the worldviews. And I know there is pushback going on amongst those listening. We are in the battle, my friends, over the hearts and the minds of your children. Be careful with the humanist classical schools as well, where they're warming this humanism up again and again. Augustine, Martin Luther, the Puritans, repented of this pagan trash, trying to pull out these classical studies to bring back something of a paganism. But guys like Augustine and Luther and the Puritans, they wanted to bring back a distinctively Christian education. They wanted to get rid of the old classical trash. But there's so many that are like the dog turning back to the vomit and swine to the wallowing the mire. They want to go back to the Aristotles. They want to go back to the Homers. So what do? We emphasize Christian authors. We emphasize Christian education. You set your children at the feet of the greatest authors, the greatest writers, the greatest pagan writers. They will be taught by these pagan instructors. They will be informed by their worldviews. You set your children at the feet of the great Christian authors. You set your children at the feet of the greatest Christian teachers, and they will give a distinctively Christian worldview. We encourage Christian curriculum, friends. We have launched a reformation of curriculum as part of the generation's vision. We have brought out a 7th through 12th grade curriculum for your junior high and high school kids, and we are emphasizing Christian books, exclusively Christian books, entirely Christian books. Christian to the very core. We want a biblical view of history. We want a Christ-centeredness. We want the scriptures to be as a frontlet between their eyes. And so as I have written the American History course for 10th to 12th grades, which, by the way, is available now at our website. It's called In God's Providence. We have incorporated between 500 and 1,000 scripture passages that scripture will be like a frontlet between their eyes, even as they are walking by the way. Even as they are studying their history, we have included prayers, a devotional flavor, a worshipful American history book that actually acknowledges Christ on just about every page and gives God the glory. Imagine that. Imagine a distinctively Christian approach. We have thorough study guides on now 25 of the best Christian books ever written over 2,000 years. Now, here's the point. People ask me, what are the most important books that I need to have in my library? Give me 25 books for my library that absolutely I must have these 25 books in my library, and absolutely my kids must read these 25 books before graduating from high school. What is the absolute most essential reading course, the most essential books written in history over the last 2,000 years, and we have constructed study guides for these books. In fact, they're sitting right in front of me on this table. You can see them, Bill, right here. These are the most essential Christian literature written over 25 years. If your kids have graduated from high school without reading them, if these books do not make up a part of your library, of what do you have, 100 books in your library? You don't have the basic, most basic, the best possible 25 books written in the last 2,000 years in your library, I just say, shame on you guys. Shame on you guys. Get some decent books. Get some Christian books in your library. Be sure that you have something of a compendium of the gifts that God has given through pastors and teachers to build up the church over the last 2,000 years. What kind of books do you have in your library? What kind of books are your children reading? Well, we've created an entire curriculum around the 25 most important Christian books ever written over the last 2,000 years. And I encourage you to at least have copies of these books in your library. And that's why the Christian Curriculum Project, that's why the Christian Discipleship Curriculum, available at the Generations website, generations.org. Bill, you know, I've been in Christian education now for 50 years. Well, my parents got us started in homeschooling in 1967. I've been involved in Christian schools. I've taught in 3 to 4 Christian schools, Christian classical schools, over the last 30 years of my life. And I would say that the Christian school movement has largely failed. Now, they've lost 1 million students in the last 15 years. So it's failing on various fronts. But I think it's failed because the Christian schooling movement was not serious enough. There was too much warmed up humanism in the curriculum. And it's time to get serious. I mean, really serious. In this generation, it's time for a more radical reformation in Christian education. If we're going to stem the all-out apostasy flow that's going on with the millennial generation, it's time right now to engage a radical worldview shift in the way that we do curriculum. Now, our curriculum is unusual. I know it has a distinctively Christian flavor to it. We prefer the greatest books, the greatest old books ever written. Let me answer the question, why prefer the old books, using a quote from C.S. Lewis. This is C.S. Lewis, a Christian thinker from the 20th century. He said, "There is a strange idea abroad that in every subject the ancient books should be read only by the professionals, and the amateurs should content themselves with modern books. This mistaken preference of the modern books and the shyness of the old ones is nowhere more rampant than in theology. Now, that seems to be topsy-turvy to me. If you must read only the new or only the old, I would advise you to read the old." That's C.S. Lewis. And so people ask us, why the old?
Right.
Why emphasize the old? Well, because it's time-tested. It's time-tested. There's something about time testing that helps us. Now, but why should we prefer Christian books written by Christian authors? Well, let me quote several others. George Whitefield warned of educational curriculum that has a tendency to debauch the mind, to raise ill passions, and to stuff the memory with things as contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ as light to darkness and heaven to hell. Does that sound a little bit like the rape content coming out of American public schools and Australian Christian schools?
Yep.
He says, again, this is George Whitefield of the 18th century, probably the greatest man of God of the 18th century, with maybe the exception of John Newton. George Whitefield warned of educational curriculum that, he says, has a tendency to debauch the mind, to raise ill passions, and to stuff the memory with Homer. Oh, I'm sorry. Stuff the memory with things as contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ as light to darkness and heaven to hell. Well, that's George Whitefield. And then back in the 16th century, Martin Luther warned of K-12 schools and colleges that become the great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures and engraving them in the hearts of the youth. Every institution, including Christian schools, in which men are not unceasingly occupied with the Word of God, must become corrupt. That's Martin Luther, the great reformer of the 16th century. Tremendous words. And then finally, of course, the early church fathers, who were discipled by the apostles themselves, wrote the Didascalia Apostolorum, that is, the teaching of the apostles. And the early church fathers, friends, we're talking about men who are trying to do church and raise Christian children in the first 2 centuries of the church. The early church fathers, discipled by the apostles themselves, the early church fathers wrote this: "Keep far from your children all the books of the heathen, including the stuff with full frontal nudity." Okay, I'm adding that part. Let me say that one more time. This is the apostles' teaching in the early church. Listen, keep far from your children all the books of the heathen, for what have you to do with foreign words, which easily cause young people to wander from the faith? What then is lacking in the Word of God, that you throw yourself up on the myths of the heathen? If you wish to read the history of the fathers, you have the book of Kings. Or of wise men and philosophers, you have the prophets, among whom you will find more wisdom in Scripture than among the wise men and the philosophers, because they are the very words of God. So, friends, I plead with you. I plead with Christian parents right now. I'm pleading with you. I'm down on my knees right now. I'm pleading with you, Christian parents. The curriculum and school materials you choose for your children will be a matter of heaven or hell. Life or death for your children. These are crucial decisions. Be very careful with the little ones God has given you. Find good Christian curriculum. Train your children to read the good Christian books. Train them to read, first and foremost, the Word of God itself, or books stuffed cover to cover with references, verses, passages from the Word of God. And we have done our best to provide this new curriculum, this reformation of curriculum, to the modern Christian family as we attempt to keep the faith and to pass on the faith during this massive secularized, apostatized age. It is time, my friends, to engage in Christian discipleship instead of secular education. Please, please, please do not bring secular education into the Christian homeschool. Please, please don't do that. This is time to bring a Christian discipleship and a Christian discipleship curriculum into the modern homeschool, the Christian homeschool. This is a time for a reformation of Christian education for our children. And I challenge all of you to join me in this reformation. Get your friends and family members connected with the Generations Ministry. And if you would like myself, Bill Jack, any of our representatives to come out and speak to your church or to speak to your homeschool support group, please just contact the Generations Ministry at host@kevinswanson.com. Just email us at host@kevinswanson.com. We'd love to share with you the importance of inculcating a biblical worldview in all 12 grades and to prepare your children to give an answer and to be ready to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. This is Kevin Swanson. I would encourage you right now to come to our website, generations.org, and check out our curriculum for 7th to 12th grade students. Whether you attend a Christian school or your home school, I encourage you to our Christian curriculum at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.